Welcome to CRE Tech Talks. This podcast series is brought to you by Building Engines, providing web and mobile property management software to innovative commercial real estate owners, managers, and the clients they serve for over 14 years. And now a man who just realized he's got a lot of growing up to do as he's broadcasting this podcast from inside his bedroom fort, Building Engines Senior Vice President, Scott Sidman.
Great. Well, thank you for that warm introduction and welcome to this episode of the CRE Tech Talks podcast. I'm your host, Scott Sidman. We haven't talked sustainability in a while, and we thought it would be a good time to revisit the topic, see what kinds of things are happening at this stage, both the solution set lifecycle, as well as what's important for the industry. To help us do that, we have a terrific guest today, Matt Ellis, the founder and CEO of Measurable. I had the chance to hear Matt speak earlier this year at an industry conference and was really impressed with both his grasp of the sustainability space and how Measurable looks to help their clients. I've also had the chance to see a little bit of the product at some of the conferences and been thoroughly impressed with what I saw both from a user experience and value perspective. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation. And with that, welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Cool. Scott, thanks very much.
As you may or may not know, if you've had the chance to listen to CRE Tech Talks, we have a little bit of rite of passage where we ask our guests to tell us a little bit about their background and share one unique or unusual fact about themselves.
Okay. Well, so I'm going to borrow from local San Diego culture for the unique fact. It's not really about me, but I have lived here for going on almost 20 years. So everyone loves fish tacos. It is a little known fact that yes, the fish taco was imported from Mexico, but it was first served in America about stone's throw, 1 mile from here, by a chain that people often know called Rubio's. And I have visited that fish taco stand in my 17 odd years, probably no less than 100 times. So that's my unique fact is I am loyal to the fish taco history and culture of San Diego. And if you need to have it for yourself, I can show you where to find it.
That's great to know. I think I will absolutely add that to the show notes and a link.
Yeah, and it comes with a Corona, Scott. So
well, that's perfect.
You'll be doubly interested.
Absolutely. See, we don't even know each other that well, but you knew that about me. That's great. So let's add to that a little bit and tell me about Measurable and what Measurable does, what led you to start the company, and how you help your clients.
So I'm a real estate broker, tenant rep, a broker by training, came out of CBRE, and now I'm a reformed broker, turned into a sustainability and technology professional. But what Measurable does is it really ties back to, I think, the famous quote that people have heard many times, you cannot manage what you do not measure, right? So Measurable says, let's make it simple to measure what matters. And we talk about what matters in the built environment and real estate. We use a framework called sustainability, or ESG, environmental, social, and governance data. And it turns out that in the real estate industry, that this is a big deal. And I first noticed this when I was at CB doing brokerage deals. And I remember walking through the door of a couple of my clients' buildings and I saw the Energy Star label. And sometimes I would see a LEED certification. I thought, what does that mean? And where does that come from? And how do they know that this building is good or bad? And how did that score get there? And that rabbit hole turns out goes quite deep. It is an issue that we care about in real estate because energy costs are the largest controllable expense in an asset. And if we can manage those downwards, we can improve NOI. And while we're at it, we get the benefit of reducing carbon. And there is that logic around all the resources that are going into a building, from materials to water, certainly energy. So we needed to have a system to manage this. And I kind of had that aha moment at CBRE. And CB wasn't really a tech firm, at least not tech forward as they have, I think, turned into today. So I left the company to build that. And we called that Measurable. And it was a end-to-end enterprise sustainability software package for measuring, managing, reporting, and acting on sustainability for real estate.
That's great. How long ago did you start the company?
We are a bright, shiny, almost 5 years old. Been commercial as a product for about 2.5 of that. Previous to that, we were building it out, mock-ups.
Could you share a little bit about what your typical client looks like and who they are and the problems they're trying to solve?
Sure. And we were kind of discussing when we first chatted, there's quite a diverse range of folks here. We've got 4.5 billion square feet in 67 countries. And that comes with everything from traditional office, institutional office owner, and industrial ownerships, REITs, private or public, asset managers, also corporations. They own some amount of real estate, but they occupy a long tail of it. So it's a diverse cohort. The use case, however, is very consistent. And so Measurable just has one product and everybody runs that same product as a SaaS solution. And what is it going to do for you? Well, it fundamentally collects environmental, social, or governance data on your portfolio of real estate. That might mean utility automation. Okay, so grabbing the bills off of the utility account on an automated basis, quality assuring that so you have good water data, energy data, fuel data, waste data, and providing analytics and reporting around that. That's sort of table stakes base case. We're also going to make sure that you track and have awareness around all your regulatory reporting requirements. Big issue in real estate these days, particularly in the United States, is cities and states are regulating the disclosure of energy. So where did that data come from? How do we know it's good? And how do we make sure we get it out on time so the building is not fined or a transaction gets held up? So we're going to manage all your regulation, alert you to that, detect it automatically, and help you file the paperwork. There's also things like green building certifications. So, you know, is this building LEED certified or ENERGY STAR certified? How do we know? We're going to automatically collect those using our APIs, track status, and then we grab all this stuff to kind of round it out, and we make it available to your investors, CalPERS or NORGIS or a sovereign wealth fund of some type, and they want to know your sustainability performance. You can generate those reports on demand through Measurable.
So before we jump into our kind of primary topic for the audience, in a marketplace where there seems to be a lot of different providers around the energy space, what do you think would be the one thing you'd want people to know about Measurable or remember about Measurable that makes you guys unique?
The word sustainability is very big. Energy is one small slice. That's the key thing here. We've been focused on energy because it is a big piece of the operating expense. But what about projects? What about audits? What about regulations? What about certifications? What about investor disclosure? What about social and governance implications of owning a portfolio? That's sustainability. Got to have all that in one place.
That's a really good segue and transition into kind of the focus of the discussion today, which is what sustainability look like and mean for the built environment today. And I'm thinking back to, I remember the green build movement starting, you know, and where this topic first started coming out maybe 10 years ago. That seems mm-hmm. about right to me. So how has that changed from then? You know, what's changed today? What does sustainability look like and mean for the built environment today?
Great question. It certainly has evolved in good ways. It's become fairly status quo. Any institutional owner of real estate who's taken outside capital, maybe $1 billion more, which, as you know, not a lot, right? Anybody above $1 billion in assets. Sustainability is, if not on the radar, it's increasingly core to that organization. If you are at all a leader or a large public REIT, you have fully staffed individuals who take this matter sustainably very seriously. 10 years ago, this was just not the case, of course, right? You had maybe a handful of folks who thought about it, worried about it, and had some program. Typically, it was overweight marketing or focused just on building certifications, but there wasn't anything much more coherent. So this has really changed. We got professional staff. We got portfolio level consistency around sustainability. We have end-to-end from meter to investor, an entire data chain of custody that's being reported on and captured. And you would expect to see that type of infrastructure in place for certainly anybody with $10 billion in AUM, large organizations, you guys in the middle, down to $5 billion. And you're going to see something about sustainability at $1 billion and up. So that's just a really different world.
Yeah, that's a big change, certainly. And I've heard you mention the phrase in a talk, I think, called investment-grade sustainability. I'm assuming that's what that means. And is there anything else you'd add to that? Mm-hmm.
That might be a little bit of what's next, I think. Talk about where we are today, and I think what's next is investment grade. For a few thousand years, really, we've been a global economy worried about financial performance, widgets in, out, dollars, COGS, these types of things. We have recently, as you pointed out, begun to worry about the non-financial performance of assets. What are their environmental implications and the governance and social issues around that? And can we quantify that? Because that is indicative of overall financial performance, because that helps lower risk. And if we want higher risk-adjusted returns of investors, then we need to quantify sustainability and care about it. Mm-hmm. And for that to work, it has to be investment grade. The current state of the market is just not there. The current state is different data captured at different times with different methods reported to different entities who score you using different methodologies. And investors, and this includes just real estate owners themselves, are confused, they're frustrated, and they're not sure what and whom to trust. And we need something called investment grade that establishes a new paradigm of consistency and quality so that we have financial and non-financial data can be held in equal esteem. And that's what's next.
So providing investors with data they can trust, consistency, how do you get there? That seems like a tough road, given all the different, as we talked about in the beginning, different systems, different methodologies. What's the vision for getting folks there?
Well, we started a company for it, right?
Yep.
It's, you know, it's a big lift. As you guys know, extremely complicated, highly networked industry. We have LPs and GPs and JV partners and property managers and their third party maybe, or their internal. The list goes on of how complicated our ecosystem. And then, by the way, there's all these tenants, right? And so I think the answer is, how do we get there? One is, it has to be SaaS. There has to be a scalable way to bring those stakeholders together and align value across them. Two, you have to focus on the quality and timeliness of the data. We need to know sustainability performance within the last 30 days of an asset or portfolio. Otherwise, the market's too dynamic and it's not representative of where we're at this moment and what you might be investing in or buying. That goes right back to the issue of SaaS. It's really only feasible to have the granularity, the alignment, and the timeliness of data using SaaS. That's kind of what I think the use case and the requirements are.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And so you get people the data they can trust, you get them the right kind of data. What do you see them doing with that information? I think you mentioned it a little bit in the statement before in terms of risk adjustment and financial decisions. Is that what you're talking about?
It is. And we just want to make sure that we, you know, there's different groups who will use the data in different ways, right? So let's focus on the building owner. That building owner wants to create net operating income, right? And so we can transact that asset at a higher sale price or get a better cash flow off that asset. So what are they going to be thinking about when they talk about sustainability? They're going to be OpEx focused. They want to drive down the controllable expense, energy, water, waste, and see what NOI they can drive. They're going to focus on the tenant experience. These tenants we saw at CBRE, large and medium-sized businesses, are putting into their RFPs sustainability clauses. Is it LEED certified? Is it Energy Star rated? And that can be a disqualifier if they're going to go out to the market for space. So if you want to be competitive in getting tenants, then you need to have sustainability be top of mind and be able to present that to that tenant as an amenity, as a mark of quality. The GSA, I think it's now second or third largest tenant. That's the General Services Administration, a branch of the federal government. Mm-hmm. This is just a requirement. If they go to market, they will only lease in LEED Silver or above, a few exceptions. So if you're in the business of leasing the government, you have to do this. So I think that's sustainability as the owner is thinking about it. Mm-hmm. If I'm a lender, however, right, I'm going to offer maybe a discount like Fannie Mae does on their green loan program to multifamily housing. You can get a discount on your debt if you qualify as a green building under that program. The lender's doing that because they think that asset's less risky, right? And this is comparable to what the insurance providers are doing. There are programs now where you get a discount on your premium if you're green. Mm-hmm. And so both of those groups, lenders and insurers, are going to be, well, how do we know you're green? Is that a BREEAM or a BOMA or a LEED certification, Energy Star label, all of the above? When, what score, what type? And that's all just data.
Right,
to create that outcome. So I think the answer to your question is, it's different to different folks, but we're all aligned on shared value here, and the data is the common denominator.
Got it. You just mentioned a whole bunch of different organizational names, and that's one of the things from my perspective, which is a bit of an outsider in terms of direct relationships with energy-related companies. There just seems to be this maze of oversight groups and reporting standards that people have to figure out and work their way and navigate through. Is there anything going on with those groups that's sort of consolidating the effort that you see?
Yeah, there is a little bit, Scott. There, on the reporting side, there has been a push by a group called SASB, mm-hmm. Sustainability Accounting Standards Board. This is Michael Bloomberg, former mayor and former chairman of the SEC. And they've gotten together to say, look, depending on what industry you participate in, write in your 10K, there's material disclosures around sustainability. The market's really looking at that, mm-hmm. because that can just make it really crisp and clean on what we report, what's material. That means what we'll worry about measuring and potentially what we stop measuring. There's maybe in some ways an overabundance of measurement and confusion on that. So there's a little something going on there. I think it's only going to affect publicly traded entities. So what about the rest?
Yep.
That's a big question. There is I hate to characterize it as a war, but there's certainly a lot of jockeying out there in the market to be the arbiter of sustainability performance. Candidly, I would say measurable is in that mix. We're doing it, though, through data science. We think of data as it's objective, it's real, let's measure it, and let's report it, and let's make that transparent. So we have a unique view that it should be SaaS and data. But there are a lot of groups out there that I think understand that this is an important thing to quantify. And time will tell what the market finds to be the most convenient and appropriate.
Yeah, but it seems like you're making progress. And it seems like there's two different challenges, establishing what matters, like you just talked about, and getting some consistency and standards around that, and measuring what matters. And you guys are clearly helping with the latter, measuring and reporting on that. Any other challenges there that we're closer to solving today?
I really like what you said up front, which is determining what matters and then measuring that. Mm-hmm. And what we've found, and I think this is a big challenge, which could be a big opportunity, is that what matters also changes. Let's pick BlackRock, and they have a specific worldview about what matters in real estate and investing. Mm-hmm. Compare and contrast that to a pension fund. Okay, they have a different and specific worldview on what matters. So examples of that might be, if you're BlackRock, you may care a lot about energy and not at all about some policy around corporate executive compensation, right, tied to sustainability.
Right.
This is just a hypothetical. And perhaps as a pension fund, a very, very long-term investor, you're very interested in how are the executives aligned to sustainability outcomes. And that's going to be very heavily weighted in your methodology, right? So I think that there's a big opportunity to provide to the market, frankly, customizable scoring. What matters to you? Here's the criteria that I have data on. You choose, you pick, you weight those criteria to determine what you think matters. So I think that that's a huge challenge because not everyone's sophisticated enough to know what matters to them. But as they get there, they're going to want a tool that allows them to get the data they care about and rank that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, that makes a lot of sense. And are there core KPIs or benchmarks that you guys help people look at?
Definitely. We have a proprietary one. I think it would be analogous to a FICO score. Mm-hmm. So it's on energy, it's on water, it's on waste, it's on carbon. Underneath, and we're scoring these on a peer relative basis. We'll look at your asset or portfolio of assets, and we draw from the 4.5 billion square feet comparable assets based on size, type, weather, all sort of building metadata that you might expect here. And we see where you stand relative to that. And we're able to score you 0 to 100, 100 being, or 70 being, you're in the 70th percentile relative to peers.
Right.
Okay. So it's a fairly traditional approach to benchmarking. It's just that it's done on an automated basis by a machine learning algorithm. Mm-hmm. That's our value add. So that's what's going on in benchmarking. I think there's quite a bit more that's happening, and depends on what you're curious about. EPA Energy Star is the gold standard, I think, when it comes to energy. They're updating their baselines,
right?
But they're very focused on energy and just introduced water. So, and if you go around the world, you'll see Analogs, Neighbors in Australia, also a benchmarking authority with a different twist on how they do that. So I think that there's a lot of places to look for what you might want.
Right.
Question is, which one's going to be the right one for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we find the same thing with our customers. Everybody wants to know how they, not only how they're doing, but how they do relative to some standard, right? And that's what matters. That's what's important to them as they consider mm-hmm. that, and how well you can, how you can slice and define that and you know, filter it down to them. So it might be even meaningful to them to find out how they compare within their sub-market or their cluster market, right?
Precisely, right? The multifamily owner in Southern California,
yep.
50,000 square feet asset, maybe that's all they care about. They don't care about being compared against publicly traded REIT with like AvalonBay, for example.
Right.
So it really is, what matters to you is an extremely personal decision, if you will. And, we have a benchmark database of our few billion square feet EPA Energy Star uses. It's CBEC survey to set a benchmark. There's lots of different ways to go about that.
Yeah, that's terrific. Wanted to ask you to clear up a question that I always have. It's interesting. A lot of our folks here ask the same question. The difference and the relationship between sustainability and something like green certification, I think there's always been a certain measure of misunderstanding there. Can you help clear that up? I think you've done a little bit of it, but maybe specifically address that.
Sure. So certification is the ability to use some methodology. The one widely known here in the U.S. is LEED. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you see LEED certification on assets. That could be a kindergarten, it could be an office building in Manhattan. And commonly, not always, but commonly, that certification was assigned based on certain factors at a certain period of time. And then it goes on the building's door and life ensues, right? And is that building still sustainable? Is that building still performing the elite standards that we believed it was at that time of certification? There are ways to fix this, but that I think is this concept of certification, the notion that at a point in time, this asset was good or met set of criteria. Hmm. And then it's up to the issuer of those criteria, how much do you trust them that they have a good opinion on that concept of sustainability. Sustainability, however, right, broadly writ, really you have to think about it, I think, as use a wacky or wonky concept of systems thinking. Right. And systems thinking is this notion that not just one building, but all buildings together form what is or is not sustainable. They're aggregate outputs, they're aggregate inputs. The people and the policies and procedures that govern that portfolio of assets and the actions that occur or don't occur or shouldn't occur on a day-to-day basis. That's sustainability. So it's much bigger. It's your environmental inputs, outputs of assets in an aggregate basis, wrapped with policies and procedures, that's governance, mm-hmm. to enforce those systems. And then you've got in the middle, the social implications, right? The tenants, the communities in which we build and how they're impacted positively, negatively, that whole thing has to be thought of as a chain together.
That's great. That's a great explanation. That's probably the most clear explanation I've heard and I think makes a lot more sense. So that's great. Thanks for that. Maybe as we head towards wrapping things up there, I think given all the changes that have taken place and we've talked about that have happened over the past 10 years in this transition, both from just kind of simple certification to the larger concept of sustainability and now moving towards investment grade sustainability, right, which seems to be the holy grail or the ultimate output there. Kind of where do you think we are in the life cycle? I mean, how early are we and what do you see the future looking like?
Well, that's a tricky question. Here's maybe something a little potentially provocative here. Mm-hmm. We have been incrementally moving the market forward thanks to extremely hard work by pioneering guys, Nils Koch, who founded GRES, the team at EPA Energy Star back in the 80s, SASB, and the hard work of nameless and faceless directors of sustainability all across the industry.
Right.
It's been kind of a team effort, but it's been at risk of being provocative, somewhat incremental. Okay. We don't have deep adoption past the institutional market and the mom and pop owned assets. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of these buildings out there, right? So I think in some ways it's clear to see that we have a lot more work to be done. Now, the interesting thing is I see that pace accelerating and potentially so much so that we could have orders of magnitude improvement in terms of sustainability adoption and management practices in the next 3 and 5 years. Why do I say that? I say that because technology. Hmm. I think that we are seeing in all industries, and particularly real estate technology, a massive influx of venture capital and new technologies. They're affordable, they're easy to deploy, they solve specific use cases, they're highly integrated. And these tools are new and just did not exist 5 and 10 years ago. And when you bring that level of disruption, you're going to see not just property management business or the commercial construction business, but also the sustainability business take huge leaps forward. Things that we'll accomplish in 1 and 2 years used to take 3 and 5 and 10. So I'm very, very bullish on the space. I think we're going to see mass uptake and adoption, but I think it'll be driven by tech,
yeah.
fundamentally.
Oh, that's great. That's certainly optimistic, and but I think rationally so. So given everything I see as well, so that's great to hear. Well, this has certainly been insightful and informative for me. Learned a lot, which is always great. Really good to hear what you guys and see what you guys are doing. And I think you've made just incredible progress for a five-year-old company. That's really impressive. So maybe in summary, if you leave the audience listeners with a few things they should think about, you know, what would you advise a commercial real estate organization or any other type of client to think about today as they want to get on the path to investment grade sustainability?
Begin the journey, as always, right?
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing about us as an industry. We've always cared about running our buildings efficiently. We've always cared about providing a good tenant experience. We've always cared about delivering a superior return on investment. Sustainability now is a new tool for you to do those same things that you always have done. And that, I think, is the main takeaway. This is not a foreign concept. It shouldn't be an alien one. It shouldn't be treated as this other thing or a marketing obligation. It should be considered a core technique of delivering superior outcomes in an organization. Tools are at your fingertips these days.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you again, Matt, for the great insights. It was really a pleasure speaking with you.
Scott, likewise. Thank you.
I'll remind our audience that contact information for Matt and for Measurable will be available on the podcast page in the show notes if you're interested.
Thank you again for listening to this broadcast of CRE Tech Talks. We hope you found today's session valuable. Remember to visit our podcast page at www.buildingengines.com/CRE Tech Talks to download today's transcript and key takeaways, as well as listen to other sessions and share with colleagues. We'll see you next time on CRE Tech Talks.